103. Psalm 103. My mind is just on an awesome God this morning, and I wasn't ready when nobody sung. Usually we got so many people singing that I have a little bit of time to get my thoughts and my mind back focused where I want to be. I got caught off guard. Now I'm going to be just messed up the rest of the day. But I'm thankful that God can use a messed up individual like me. I'm blaming it on me. Amen. I just got caught up in a routine. Bible said don't get caught up in the form and fashion of things. And that's what happened to me, you know. So, man, I'm going to have this time. I'll just, you know, sit here and focus. And I was trying to. And you know when the Lord's wanting to do something when the devil's fighting you. Because I was sitting there, I was trying to pray, and I was trying to, and my wife kept talking to me. She don't know. No, she don't know. She didn't know. But I was trying to focus on something, and she kept talking to me. And then I said, well, it's all right. You know, a couple of people will probably sing. And nobody sung. It just got me, you know, the Lord's wanting to do something this morning. The devil does not want it to happen. Amen. And that's just the way he works, and I know that, and I've got accustomed to that, and I deal with that, and you know he works in spite of what the devil wants to do. Amen. So just give him your attention this morning. Give him your undivided attention, and let him speak to your heart. In Psalm 103, if you'd stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, and as you're standing, I ask you to remember to keep Brother George Blue in your prayers in a very special way. Had a very difficult surgery the other day. It was supposed to be about 5 hours, and it wound up being closer to nine, a little bit more than nine. And they came out about 6 hours after they started and said, we'll be about another hour. And about 3 hours later, they came out to let us know what was going on, that everything had went all right, but they just some things they're dealing with. So keep Brother George in your prayers. They moved him out of ICU yesterday down to the surgical ward, surgical room. If y'all can get up and see him, I know he'd appreciate the company. He always appreciates your visits. But just keep him and Mary in your prayer. He's still got a long road ahead of him in the recovery process. They're still checking to make sure there is no more cancer. And the doctor said they took one lymph node that was swollen and some marginal lymph nodes and tissue alongside just to make sure there was no microscopic cancer that was there. So just be much in prayer and just pray that God would just comfort them and guide them and strengthen and heal as only he can do. And pray for Brother Brian and his family as they've lost his mother last Sunday and had her services this week and going through the process of grieving and the loss of a loved one. We'll begin reading this morning in verse number 13, Psalm 103, verse number 13. The Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Isn't it something that we have a God that knows us and yet he cares about us? We're talking about the Lord here. You see, it's all about him, and it's what we are to do. And the Bible tells us when we read and we expect to hear from him that we can know his word, we can know his desire. And it's good to know this morning that he has a desire for us. He knows our hearts, and he knows our lives, and yet his desire is to us even in that he would send his son to die for us and to take our place. The Bible uses the word here, Lord. all in capital letters. It's used 11 times in Psalm 103 and the various verses as you read. But it tells us in Psalm 103 about the great blessing of the Lord. He begins, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then he goes on to list all the things that the Lord does for us. Not just a God, not just some God, not just another God, but the living God. Amen. Some people say, "Well, you believe in God, that's enough." I ask them, "What God do you believe in?" Amen? I believe in the living God. James says, you believe in God, you do well. He said, even the demons, even the devils believe and tremble. It's one thing to believe in God, but it's another thing to be acquainted with God, to have a relationship with God, to be God's. The Bible makes it plain that God has created all beings and all mankind, but not all mankind are God's children. Everybody thinks, well, we're all God's children. We die, we're all going to go to heaven, and that's not true. We're all God's created beings. We're created in His likeness and in His own image. God, who is above all and beyond all, made us just like Him. There are many gods that people worship and many gods that people follow in this world. And when you read in the Bible, you'll read it. Even God talks about other gods, but they are always the small g gods. Because there's only one true God. His name is Jehovah. In the English, Yahweh. In the Hebrew. His name is a name that is descriptive of who He is. He's beyond everything that we can think or comprehend. Jehovah God exists outside of anything else outside of Himself, where we as His creation can only exist in Him and because of Him. When we see that Moses seen the burning bush as he was in the wilderness, and he said, "I'm going to turn aside and see this thing, how this bush can burn and not be consumed." He was seeing a manifestation of Jehovah God, a God that needed no fuel. There was no need for a bush to be consumed because He exists in His own self and needs nothing outside of Himself to be who He is. As He dwelt as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day over the children of Israel, He did not have to be fed fuel that would be consumed to allow Him to exist. He's the self-existent one. His name is so holy. His name is so righteous that when the scribes of Israel are writing and imparting God's word and copying and sharing the law and the things that God has said, anytime they came to the name Yahweh, Jehovah, God, they would immediately stop writing with the instrument that they was writing with. They would get a brand new, never used instrument. They would write His name. And once His name had been written with that instrument, would discard it because it was so holy, because it had actually written the name of God. His name was so holy that the Jews will not even speak and call Him by name. That would be disrespectful. That could border on the line of being blasphemous. The Jews will call Him Adonai, or Elohim, which means Lord, or the Lord God. They revere and reverence the name of God. They lift up and they extol the very name of God. And yet, in so many ways, they reject God and what He said. So many of us know and have a concept about God, but we don't really know the God that the Bible was telling us about, the God that is so good to us that He loadeth us daily with benefits. Amen? A God that is so good to us that he just pours out blessings upon blessings to us that we might know Him and we might understand Him and we might conceive of Him as being the God of love. Yahweh is the sacred name of God. It's the name that is used for the covenant-keeping God. It's used and applied when there is a covenant that is being made between God and man, like the covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant that God made with Noah to come into the ark and to find safety, the covenant that God made when He sent His Son into the world and He swore by Himself because He could swear by no other. As we read in the Bible, when we read about the God of creation, we read of a God who, and the Lord, and when the Bible speaks of creation, as you go back into Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and 4, and we see that we have a descriptive word telling us that God has done these things, and God spoke the world into existence, and God created man in His likeness and in His own image. We see that Elohim is the term that is used to describe the creative nature of God. It's descriptive of His creative abilities. There's nothing that God can't do, nothing that God can't create. God spoke the world into existence. God hung the stars. We hear many times that it is said that God flung the stars into the heavens, but the Bible makes it plain that God hung every star in place. And as we got to experience a few of us a few weeks ago on a NOVA program about the Hubble telescope, the stars in the heavens are innumerable. They can't begin to number them, yet God placed each one of them in place. God knows each one of them by the name that He has given them. God is aware of everything that He's done. Elohim, the creative God, the God that made you, the God that made me. But where there is a relationship with man, God is always referred to as Yahweh. And though it might be translated in our King James Bible, though it might be translated in other forms as the Lord in all capital letters, it's telling us about God's relationship with humanity. God making a man in His own likeness and His own image, in the creative aspect, Elohim. But God in a personal relationship with man, as He formed him from the dust of the earth and the dust of the ground, and He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's Yahweh, Elohim, the God that is a personal God that has created me and has created you and has created all things. And whether it's Elohim or Adonai, it's still God. Whether we read in the Bible that He says, I am that I am, I'm the self-existent one, or whether we read that His name is Jehovah, or whether we read in the Bible that He's the Lord God of heaven, This is the God that we are talking about when we talk about God. This is the God that I'm focused on. When somebody says God, I don't care about the 10,000 gods of the Hindus. I praise God. I serve the one and the only and the living God. I don't have to serve a God that created, a God that maintains, a God that sustains, and a God that disdains. Amen? I serve one God. And He's able to do all things. I serve one God that, though I can't wholly explain Him and can't wholly understand Him, I can know about Him because of what His Word says. The Bible says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I'm glad that Jehovah or Yahweh, Elohim, has a personal relationship with mankind. A personal relationship with humanity. He looks at us like a father looks at his children. And when the children are struggling, we might not like what the children do, but they're still our children. When we deal with our children, it's said when they're little, they step on your toes. And when they get older, they step on your heart, but they're still your children. You still love your children. And the Bible tells us in the descriptive names of God how much He cares for us. In Psalm 24:10, we read, if we was to read it in the Hebrew, of Yahweh Sabaoth, or Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. In Genesis 22:14, we see that Abraham gave God the name of Jehovah or Yahweh Jireh, the God that provides. In Exodus 15:26, God tells His people that He is Yahweh, the healer, the God that heals. In Exodus 17:15, we see that God is not only the deliverer, the creator, the sustainer, but He's their reason. Amen. That they are sustained, the reason that they live, the reason that they have flourished. Jehovah Nissi, Yahweh, our banner. You know, every army that goes into war, even to this day, the United States, when it goes into war, it displays in some manner or carries our ensign, our flag, our banner that says we are the Americans. We are the United States of America. We're here, we're on scene, and we're going to do our best. Jehovah Nissi, Yahweh our banner. In Judges 6:24, Gideon said He's our peace, Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh our peace, the God of our peace. That's how we can have that perfect peace that passes all understanding that Paul preaches about in Philippians. Because it's not a peace that comes from this world. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I. Amen. Why? Because the peace of this world is fleeting. But the peace that God gives is enduring and everlasting. The psalmist said He's the Lord, Yahweh, my shepherd. Is God your shepherd this morning? Is God the one who protects you and guards you and keeps you and leads you, sustains you? Read the 23rd Psalm. He's a protector. He's a supplier. He's a friend, an encourager, a sustainer. He's everything that the individual needs. In Jeremiah 23:6, God said, I, the Lord, am your righteousness, Yahweh, our righteousness. I'm glad that when you look at me, you might see my faults and my failures. But praise God, I want you to know when you look at me, you see a work that God has done. And I don't have anything that I can brag of in and of myself outside of the righteousness and the mercy of God. I've told you time and again, and Brother Harvey's got it right, my epitaph will probably be on my tombstone. Here lies a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserved to be in hell with his back broke, that was saved by the grace of God. Amen. For that's all I am. The Bible says all your righteousnesses, everything that you think is good, plural, is as filthy rags. But praise God, my righteousness isn't about me. My righteousness isn't about who I am or what I've done. But my righteousness is about a God that loved me, a God that sent His Son to die for me, a God that allowed me to be imparted with His righteousness through His Son. And because of the righteousness of the Son of God, praise God, I have been made right in the eyes of God, and I have a hope of eternity. I know that He doesn't leave me nor forsake me. Ezekiel 48:35 is talking about the circumference of the city of God. It's talking about His presence ever there. 18,000 furlongs encompassing that great city. And it shall be called Jehovah, or Yahweh, is there. The Lord is there. And I'm glad He's there, but I'm glad He's right here. Amen. I'm glad I have a God that never leaves nor forsakes. A God that's a friend that loveth at all times. Each of these names describe how God meets the needs of humanity. They're all descriptive of how we can relate to God and His dealings with us. His personal qualities are also ascribed to Him through His name. In Isaiah 42:13, it says the Lord is mighty. In Psalms 95:6, praise God, He's the maker, the creator, the one that does it all. In Psalm 17, He's the Most High. In Judges 11:27, praise God, He's the judge. He's the only one that can judge and the only one that will judge. See, I can know about God and I can understand some of the things that the Bible tells me of God. But friend, until I get to the place to where I realize how much God loves me and how much God cares for me, I can believe in this God and that God and that God and every other God, and it means absolutely nothing until I realize that there's only one God. A fellow told me as long as you believe in God, that's all that matters. I said, yeah, but what God are you talking about? Well, just God. No, there's more to just God. There's only one God. There's only one real and true God. But man can believe in all their little gods and their made-up gods and their fake gods. The Philistines believed in Dagon. Amen. And when they brought the Ark of the Covenant that they'd captured from the Israelites into the temple of Dagon, what happened to him? He fell over. They set him back up, and he fell over again. Amen. Even the false gods are going to bow before the living God. Nebuchadnezzar set him up an obelisk. He set him up a memorial unto himself. He thought himself to be a god, to be worshipped. And he gave the commandment that when you hear all the sounds of all these instruments and all this commotion taking place, that everybody is to bow down and worship. Where'd that get in? Amen. You got him eating grass like an ox. Looked like an ox. Probably smelt like an ox. Amen. Until we come to the realization that there is only one God. When the God of this world said, I will ascend and exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High God, Lucifer, the anointed cherub. I believe Lucifer was like the prime minister of heaven. He was like Joseph in Egypt. I believe Lucifer was right below God. I believe he was in control of everything in heaven, right below God. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He said, I will exalt my throne. And he lifted himself up and he thought himself to be God. And was cast out of heaven. And he's become the God of this world. When people talk about God, you got to be careful who you're talking about. When people say, I believe in God, what God do you believe in? There's a God in this world that'll do everything that he can to keep you from serving and to acknowledging the Most High God. See, what I can know about God is this, that there's only one true God. There's only one living God. There's only one God that has created all things, and there's only one God that I owe my allegiance to. And though I know very little about him, the Bible tells me right here in Psalm, he knows a whole lot about me. For he knoweth our frame. Man, I tell you what, there's no mind like the mind of God. Amen. There's no mind that can conceive of the things that God conceives of. There's no one that can know you better than you know you. You might have everyone in the whole world fooled. You might even convince yourself that something's not right, but you'll never fool God. Why? Because he knoweth our frame. What's that mean? He knows who we are. After all, he created us in his own likeness, in his own image. He knows our frailties. He knows what's fragile about us. He knows what our strengths are. And every one of us is individuals. He knows us as the individual that we are. Things that will affect me that may not affect Brother Jim, he knows all about. But the things that affect Brother Jim that have no effect on me, he knows all about. Amen. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. He knows all about us, but he knows. He knows where the affections of our hearts truly are. Over in Colossians, I think it's 3:1, it says, let your affections be on things above, not on the things of the earth. Jesus said, set your affections on the things above. Put your treasures, lay up your treasures in heaven. He said, the treasures of this earth are just temporal. He says, if the thieves don't break through and get them, if the fire don't destroy them, if they just don't wear out and rust away, He said, they're going to disappear anyway. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the preacher said, all is vanity and vexation. People try to accumulate it all and to have it all and to keep it all. But he concluded that the dust shall turn to the earth from whence it came, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Therefore, we should honor God. We should worship God. We should glorify God. Not just any God, but Jehovah God, the living God. He knoweth us. He knoweth our frame. He knows all about you. Understand that. He's God that exists within himself. And you don't exist outside of him. If he don't give you breath, you don't exist. If he didn't allow the sun to shine, we couldn't exist. Amen. If he didn't give you the strength to get up to do the things that you do, you couldn't exist. Everything about us exists because of God, and this God knows us intimately. And even in knowing us, he cares for us. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know what? He knows our shortcomings. He knows when we lose our temper. He knows when we've not done right. He knows when we have sinned. But he loves us. And he pities us. He knoweth our frame. Thank God for the mind of God. Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor? Oh, the mind of God and what God knows about us. And yet he loves us. He remembereth that we are but dust. Preacher was praying, trying to pray real eloquently. Oh, Lord, thou knowest our frame, and thou rememberest that we are but dust. Little boy nudged his mommy and said, Mommy, what's but dust? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. Brother Jim said, not again. Sunday school, now worship service. We got to be careful. But he knows. He knows us. And he remembers. You know, there are things that you forgot. God has not forgotten. Amen. Was talking and get to talking to people, and the older we get to talking to people, and you go talking about things that happened, and say, I don't remember that. I was with my nephew yesterday, Brother David's son. We was riding. He was talking about some things. I said, you know, he said, no, I don't remember that. I said, you know what that is, don't you? I don't want to hear. You're getting old. Amen. He don't remember these things. He don't remember this and don't remember that, just like most of us. But God remembers his promises that he's made. He remembers that we were created in his own likeness and his own image. Where we were created that he might fellowship with us. That he would be able to come like he did with Adam and Eve, and in the cool of the day to walk and talk with man and to fellowship with man and to enjoy the presence of his creation. Man sinned and broke that fellowship. Man sinned and broke that relationship. And God hasn't forgot about his creation. He hasn't forgot the reason that he created us. You know, God could have easily had just obliterated Adam and Eve. He could easily have just started over again. Do you realize that? But as a father pitieth his children, God looked upon man's sin as only a God like the only true and living God can do, and realized that though we have fallen and though we have failed, we can be restored. He remembers. That's why when we sin, He don't just obliterate us. And that's why when we was born in sin, He just don't eliminate us. There would be no mankind. But He remembers that we're but dust. Where we're nothing but from the dust of the earth. Where we're nothing but His creation. Where we're nothing but what He has imparted unto us. And though we take the things that He gives us for good, you know, everything that God made was perfect. He made a perfect world. No sin. Amen. There was no sin at all. He made a perfect man and a perfect woman, placed them in a perfect environment, and man still chose a path of sin. Man still chose to go contrary to what God's Word had told him. But I'm thankful that He's willing to forgive us of our sin. I'm thankful He's willing to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. And even though God remembers everything, the Bible tells us that He will separate our sins. If we go back here, where are we at? Let me find it here. For as the heaven is high, verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is, verse 12, from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He remembers the reason that He created us. He remembers that we have sinned, and yet He's willing to remove our sins far from us if we'll believe in Him and trust in Him. So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. How great it is to know that He loves us. How great it is to know that He prepared a way of deliverance for us. He remembers that He created us. He remembers the reason that He created us. And He knows what His Word said. The soul that sins, it shall surely die. In the day that you eat of the fruit that has been forbidden, you shall die. They died spiritually the moment they ate that fruit. But He remembered. He remembered that He'd created them for fellowship. He remembered. And He made a way of restoration. The Bible says in Genesis, Yahweh, Elohim, interacted personally with humanity, with man. For He made coats of skin for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness so their sin could be hid. An innocent animal had to die. Innocent blood was shed. For He remembered. He remembered why He had created. He remembered who they were. But the Bible tells us that God has a way of when He wants to not remembering. There in verse 12, He said He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He tells us in Micah, verse 7 and 19, that He puts our sins into the depths of the sea. Why is that? He wants to remove them far from us. And even though he knows they're there, he don't want to remember them. How do you know that? Because Isaiah 43:25. God says, I will forgive your iniquities and I will remember them no more. Oh, what an awesome God it is. That realizes our frailty, realizes our faults, and realizes our inability to act on our own behalf. And he acts for us. He gave a son to die for us. He gave a son to suffer for us. I know my days are numbered. I know my days are short. Verse 15 says, "For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." I quit mowing grass several weeks ago. Some haven't got past that yet. I seen a picture just a little while ago, a fellow mowing grass in the snow. That just ain't right. Amen. But the grass withers. The flowers fade. And pretty soon you look around and it's gone. Our pretty flowers, our knockout roses. Man, we got some roses that just bloom and bloom and bloom and bloom. That's why they call them knockout roses. They just keep blooming. And you can't hardly kill them. Man, I pulled them up and dug them up and moved them, and the bush die all up. The leaves all wither away. And next thing you know, green spouts coming up and it's putting out roses. But there comes a time of year when they quit. Comes a time of year when all the flowers fade. There comes a time in our lives when our life will soon be over. The psalmist said, he just pours out his love to us. He gives us benefits to us like no other can, because he's God. He is the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim. He's God, the only God, the one God that does all these things. And he knows us. And he knows how brief our lives are. Job said that they're swifter than a post. In other words, they go swifter than a letter. That back then, Pony Express was a pretty quick thing. Today, sometimes you wonder if your letter ever going to get there. Amen? Especially when you're really anticipating something. James said, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a time and then it's gone. In Hebrews, Paul said, our lives have an appointment with death that we're going to keep. But we can rejoice in who God is. Just as Israel rejoiced in all the names of God. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, and all the others. And find the peace and the confidence and the hope that they knew because of the mercy of God. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the living God, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Knowing me, I'm glad I know his mercy. Knowing me, I'm glad I know his grace. Knowing me, I'm glad that I've invited him into my heart, and I've let him restore what was broken, because he knew that I could not do it on my own. And he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross. His mercy endures forever. In Psalm 136, there's 26 verses, and every one end with the same sentence, the same line, "For his mercy endureth forever." And I'm glad his mercy endures to all generations. I'm glad this God that created man in his creative act making the world the way that he did, I've seen who I was going to be as he formed the dust of the earth. In his mind, I believe I already existed. And I was already, he already knew that one day I would stand in need. But he knew there was nothing I could do for myself. And the Bible says that he chose and made a plan. The Bible says over in Revelations that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know, God already had a plan. God already knew what my greatest need would be. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Praise his name. Who healeth all thy diseases. Praise his name. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Praise his name. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Bless his name. Who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise his name. We could go on and on and on. But his greatest gift was his gift of salvation, redeeming me from iniquity, redeeming me from the curse of the law, the curse of sin, restoring me to the relationship that the God of all, the self-sustaining God, who does not need me, has invited me to come and to partake of the redemption that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song.